everyone, and welcome to another deep dive with us. Today we're going deep into the life and work of a painter you've definitely heard of, Gustave Courbet.
Mm-hmm.
But not the Courbet you might be thinking of, you know, with those paintings of everyday life, like the Stonebreakers or the folks out in the countryside.
Right.
Today we're tackling a much more, well, intense side of Courbet. We're diving into the story behind The Desperate Man.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating piece. It's a self-portrait, and it's about as subtle as a punch in the gut.
Seriously. If you haven't seen it, look it up after this. You'll see what we mean.
It definitely clashes with the whole realism thing he became known for later on. It's kind of wild.
It really is. I mean, we've been digging through all these articles, and it's like looking at two different artists. You have The Desperate Man from the early 1840s. Think wild eyes, raw emotion. You really feel the angst just radiating off the canvas.
Uh-huh.
And then just a few years later, boom, he's painting stonebreakers and funerals, capturing reality in this, well, almost unemotional way. So how do we reconcile those two sides of Courbet?
Well, I think it's more helpful to think of it as a journey he went on, not some kind of contradiction. In the 1840s, when he paints The Desperate Man, he's young, obviously. He's ambitious, and he's really struggling to, you know, find his place, find his style. Imagine the pressure cooker of the Paris art scene back then.
Right. Oh, I can only imagine. But even then, he wasn't exactly playing it safe. One biography talked about how he ditched law school to be an artist, even said he wanted to live like a savage. I mean, was that a common career path back then? Tossing away a respectable profession to be a starving artist?
Uh-huh. Not really, no. Paris is definitely a hub for artists. But the art world itself, particularly this thing called the Salon, it was really rigid, really traditional.
Ah, the Salon. The gatekeepers.
Exactly. You know, to get any recognition, you practically needed an engraved invitation from these art world elites.
And I'm guessing those invitations weren't being handed out to, you know, rebellious young artists who are challenging the status quo.
No, not really. They were all about tradition. Think like those massive historical paintings, mythological figures, that kind of thing. So if you were a young artist trying to break the mold like Courbet was, the Salon could make or break your career.
It makes that feeling of desperation in the self-portrait even more understandable. You can really feel that weight on him, can't you? This young, ambitious guy trying to break into this exclusive club, and he's got all this raw talent, all this emotion, but no real outlet for it.
Absolutely. And he's also spending hours at the Louvre copying old masters, you know, guys like Ribera and Rembrandt.
Interesting. So was he like trying to master their techniques or something?
Well, it was definitely part of the traditional art education, which is kind of ironic because Courbet was rejecting all that by not going to an academy.
Right, right.
But for Courbet, it seems like it was less about technical skill and more about finding inspiration. You see, he was drawn to artists who weren't afraid to use dramatic contrasts of light and shadow to really punch through with emotion.
Hold on, light and shadow, you say? Isn't that exactly what makes The Desperate Man so powerful? The way he uses those almost black backgrounds to make his expression just jump out at you.
Precisely. It's like he's channeling Ribera in that self-portrait. So even while he's rebelling against the traditional art world, he's also drawing inspiration from it, finding those threads that resonate with his own vision. It really goes beyond just technique. You know, those countless hours he spent at the Louvre, they were shaping his entire artistic vision. He was learning how light and shadow could convey not just form, but raw, human emotion.
Okay, this is all starting to click now. So we've got this young Courbet rejecting the traditional art world, but also finding inspiration in the masters. And then on top of that, we've got these articles mentioning his admiration for the romantic painters like, who were they again?
Géricault and Delacroix.
Right, right. But those guys were all about those massive historical scenes, right? It's not exactly the same vibe as a self-portrait of a struggling artist.
True, the subject matter was totally different. But think about what romanticism was all about, right? It was about emotion, individuality, capturing these intense subjective experiences. Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it?
You're totally right. It's like The Desperate Man is this bridge between these epic romantic paintings and his later realism. He's taking that intensity, that rawness, and channeling it into something completely new.
Exactly. And what's even more interesting is that Courbet isn't just caught between these different artistic movements. He's grappling with his own identity as an artist. I mean, does he play it safe and create art that the Salon expects, art that might make him some money? Or does he follow his own path, his own vision, even if it means being misunderstood or worse, rejected?
Talk about artistic desperation.
Huh,
it's a struggle I think a lot of people can relate to, even if they're not, you know, trying to make a living as an artist,
yeah,
trying to find that balance between what you're supposed to do and what you feel called to do, even if it's scary.
100%. And for Courbet, this wasn't some like theoretical dilemma. This was his life. He needed to sell his art to survive. So imagine pouring your heart and soul into something, knowing that it might be met with complete indifference or even ridicule.
And yet, he kept painting. He kept pushing those boundaries. Makes you wonder, though, was there a turning point for him? When did that desperation, that struggle, start to transform into the confidence and clarity we see in his later work?
Well, that's where his big break with the Salon comes in. In 1844, they finally accepted one of his paintings. It was called Courbet with a Black Dog.
So he finally gets that acceptance, that recognition he was after. Wouldn't that make him want to, you know, play it safe, stick with what worked, keep the Salon happy?
It's tempting to think so, right? But you have to remember, Courbet wasn't just driven by accolades or recognition. He was searching for something deeper, something truer to himself. And that desire, that drive, it led him away from those expectations and toward a whole new way of seeing, a new way of painting.
Towards realism.
Exactly. And while the desperate man, at first glance, might seem a million miles away from his later paintings of, like you said, stonebreakers, peasants, it actually holds the seeds of that artistic revolution.
I'm following you, but could you like connect the dots for me a little more? Explain it to me like I'm standing in front of the desperate man for the first time.
Okay, sure. Look closely. What do you see? You see raw emotion, absolutely. But you also see this meticulous attention to detail, this willingness to capture the world honestly without any sort of embellishment.
You're right. There's this rawness, but also this unflinching honesty, both in like the subject matter and in the way he painted it.
And that's the key. Because realism wasn't just about painting everyday scenes and everyday people. It was about stripping away the artifice, you know, those idealized visions that were so common in the art world at the time.
Hmm?
Courbet was presenting something real, something relatable, even if it wasn't always pretty.
So in a way, the desperate man is like this sneak peek into Courbet's artistic DNA, right?
Yeah.
Even in that early work, he's wrestling with these ideas of truth, authenticity, what's the role of the artist in society, all these big questions. It's like we're seeing the birth of a movement, you know, in that one raw, powerful self-portrait. But it makes you wonder, if we didn't have the desperate man, would we still consider Courbet a realist just based on his later work?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Nope.
Would we see his rejection of those traditional subjects as this bold statement, this artistic revolution? Or would it just look like, you know, his starting point?
Right, right.
It really makes you think about how much we depend on an artist's narrative, you know, how they present their own journey, what they choose to show or hide.
And in Courbet's case, he chose to keep the desperate man hidden away, almost like he wanted to erase that early period of struggle, present himself as this fully formed artist who just like burst onto the scene, breaking all the rules.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Why would he hide such a personal part of his own development? Was he ashamed of that early desperation? Or did he just see it as irrelevant later on, you know, just a stepping stone on his way to something in his mind greater?
Maybe a bit of both. I mean, he couldn't deny those feelings were part of his journey, but he probably didn't want to be defined by them either. It makes me think about how we do that in our own lives sometimes. We try to present this polished version of ourselves, keep those messy, uncertain parts hidden from view.
Oh, absolutely. It's like we're all curating our own stories, choosing what to reveal and what to keep in the shadows. But those hidden parts, those moments of doubt, of desperation even, they shape us. They push us to grow, to evolve.
Just like they pushed Courbet to like totally revolutionize the art world, think about the impact realism had. He wasn't just painting scenes of everyday life. He was challenging this whole hierarchy of what was considered worthy of being art.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, hey, the lives of ordinary people, their struggles, their joys, these are important. These deserve to be seen.
And that was radical for the time. It challenged the entire definition of art, who it was for, what it could be. And honestly, it paved the way for so many artists who came after him. Artists who dared to break free from those old conventions and tell their own stories.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Courbet and his desperation, what are some key takeaways? What can we learn from his story about, you know, art, creativity, the human experience in general?
I think it reminds us that even the most groundbreaking artists, the ones who seem to break all the rules, they don't just magically appear. They have their own unique journeys, their own struggles and doubts. Those moments, as uncomfortable as they can be, are often the catalyst for something new, something incredible.
Just like that raw, desperate energy in the desperate man led to this whole revolution in art.
Exactly. So if there's one thing to take away from our deep dive today, it's this. Embrace those messy, uncertain parts of your own journey. Don't be afraid to experiment, to break the mold, to really find your voice. You never know where it might lead.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and until next time, keep diving deep.